Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. I'd like to invite you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. It might be the most important 30 minutes of your life. Our show is always about motivation, inspiration, and always without manipulation. We're not here to manipulate you. We're here to give you accurate information. Don't need your money. We're not asking for money. We don't have anything to sell. We only have something to give, and that's the truth of the Word of God, and it's always free. So please stay tuned. Sit back and listen and just learn how you can let the tremendous resources of the Word of God deliver you in time of adversity. One of the things that we always try to talk about on this show is how adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. Listen to it again. Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. You see, adversity, that's what circumstances do to you, and stress is exactly what you do to yourself. When you worry, when you get afraid, when you get full of guilt, when you get agitated, these are all stress-related sins. Maybe no one's ever told you that there are stress-related sins, but there definitely are. And being a Christian, being a believer in Jesus Christ, means that you have a way to live so that you don't have to have stress in your life. Now, you cannot get away from adversity. It's always going to be there. If you drive a car, you may have a flat. You might run out of gas. If you have a home, you may blow out a hot water heater or burn up a dryer or mess up a washer. I mean, these are adversities that we face every day in life, not even counting the big ones. But hey, and even though adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. As a believer in Jesus Christ, the Christian life gives you the most phenomenal way to live so that you do not assume unassigned responsibilities. And you leave these things in the Lord's hands, and you're able to maintain your optimal objective optimism in your life. You're able to maintain your joy. The Bible says joy. You're able to do that by keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, we have talked on our radio show about being a winner believer, being a believer who executes the protocol plan of God. Let me run through quickly for you again the three phases of God's plan. I know you're not in the third phase because you're listening to me. But phase one is salvation. This is how we all enter the plan of God, when we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should brag about it." So when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, what you simply do is you believe what Christ did for you. You go to the Father and express your faith in prayer, and you may tell God the Father in prayer that you're willing to accept Christ as your Savior. This is the most significant moment in your life. It's the moment the Bible says you are born again. You see, we all must have two births, or else we will face two deaths. The first birth is physical, when you're born in a hospital or maybe at home, wherever you were born, but that's a physical birth. And that's when God imputes to you human life, and here you are. Bingo. But now the spiritual birth. That's a decision that you have to make in the compartment of your own soul when you, by means of your own free will, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and you are willing to accept His substitutionary death on the cross on your behalf. There's no way you can pay for your sin. There's no way you can be good enough to approbate God. I'm confident of that because the Bible says there are none that are good, no, not even one. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. Now all you have to do is simply say, well, the Bible's not true. I don't believe the Bible. The Bible was written by men, and the Bible's not accurate. And you can go down that whole list of arguments, and maybe on this show someday I'll show you why you can trust the Bible. I can show you and prove to you without a doubt this is the infallible Word of God. There's no doubt about it. But sometimes to make excuses for our own negative volition, we have to find something. So we say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, the Bible is the Word of God. It even says that in the Hebrews it is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, that it pierces even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrows, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's why the Word of God mandates us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. This doesn't mean you go into hibernation and study the Bible 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. That's not what it's talking about. But it does mean you need to get under a qualified pastor who can teach you the Word of God from his pulpit in his local church. And it's there that you learn how to operate in the Christian life. Your spiritual birth is a very significant thing, because your spiritual life is the most important thing you have. After you are born again, you're going to grow spiritually, or you will not grow spiritually. You can stay a spiritual midget all your life if you wish. And I can assure you, you will live a miserable life and probably go to heaven much sooner than God intended for you to be there. But if you grow in grace and you begin to stay filled with the Spirit and appropriate the promises in the Word of God and sit in a local church under a qualified pastor who teaches you God's Word consistently, then you will live a full and meaningful life, and you will have many opportunities to glorify Jesus Christ with every decision you make, all the way up until the time that you depart from this earth by means of physical death. But remember, the Bible says to be absent from the body. Well, that's to be face to face with the Lord. And so death is an illusion. You see, there's no such thing as death for the soul. The soul continues to live forever, and you are a living soul. And your body may grow old and shut down because it has to. It cannot inherit heaven. The Bible says that corruptible cannot inherit incorruptible. So your body's got to shut down. But your soul, at physical death, transfers face to face with the Father. Now, while you're here, you're living in a body. You're a soul and you're a spirit, and you're operating here in your human body. By learning these problem-solving devices that I've given to you on this radio show over the last 20-some-odd weeks, you can experience the tremendous promises and principles and provisions Jesus Christ has for you. Now, what are the problem-solving devices? Well, the first one was rebound. You remember when I taught you rebound? Rebound is simply 1 John 1:9, and it handles the problem of sin in your life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. And we all sin every day. So when I sin, I rebound. I confess my sin to God. This is how I maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, at salvation, we're all indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're all sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're all regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And yes, we are filled with the Spirit. But when you sin, you lose the filling. The Bible says you become carnal and fleshly. And so when you rebound, you regain the filling of the Spirit. Well, what does the filling of the Spirit solve? It solves you living your life in the energy of the flesh. You cannot live your Christian life in the energy of the flesh. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can execute the Christian life. And that's why Jesus Christ himself said, if I go away, I'm going to send my Spirit, and he will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is your divine tutor. He's your divine mentor, and he's in your soul. And the Bible says you're not to quench him, and you're not to grieve him. And the Bible clearly says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as you stay filled with the Spirit by means of rebound, you go through certain tests in your life, and this is where you use the faith rest drill, where you claim the promises of the Word of God and stand on those promises and form biblical conclusions. Then you get into grace orientation. What a great problem-solving device that is. Because once you get into grace orientation, you begin to live by grace. You begin to treat other people in grace. You begin to enjoy all the grace assets that God has given to you. One of the things that grace is not is grace is not legalism. Legalism is the enemy of grace. The legalist is somebody who thinks God is impressed with his good deeds. And that sort of person often becomes very self-righteous, that's what I'm trying to say, as a result of his legalism. He likes to judge other people. He likes to criticize other people. Now, if you know a friend like that that's a Christian, he's trying to control you by demanding that you follow some set of tradition or rules or whatever he believes in so you can have the favor of God. This is the worst sort of person in the world. He doesn't mind his own business. He doesn't take care of his own spiritual life. He's trying to mind your business and bully you. And my advice to you, if you have a friend like that that's a believer in Jesus Christ, is love him, but love him from across the room. Give him plenty of space. You'll be a lot happier if you do. Dying grace is promised in the Bible in Job 5:19-27. And simply put, it says, you will not come to your grave until you are ready and ripe, until God has it planned. And yes, he does know the time and the manner and the departure of your life from this earth. So grace orientation is a great problem-solving device, as well as biblical orientation. We call this Bible doctrine, coming to know the Word of God, putting it to use in your life. You see, without Bible doctrine, you have no answers. All the answers you need are found in the Bible, all the solutions, all the motivation for your life, found in the Word of God. And that's why the Bible clearly tells us, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Another great problem-solving device, and we've talked about it on this show, is a personal sense of destiny. And this is where you come to realize that God has a plan for your life. It's almost like a door. And once you go through and out the other side, now you begin to live on God's agenda. Personal love for God is a great problem-solving device. Because when you love him, you obey him. And as you become occupied with the person of Christ and have personal love for God, you will have impersonal love for other people. That means you'll be able to love people that are even jerks, but you love them not on the basis of who and what they are. You love them on the basis of who and what you are. It's the grace in your soul. This gives you great happiness in your life, and it is a problem-solving device, sharing the happiness of God. That's why John 15:11 says, I've taught you these things that my happiness might be in you, and that your happiness might be fulfilled. Oh, I cannot tell you the great joy that comes from functioning in the plan of God. When you find wisdom, the Bible says happiness belongs to the person who finds wisdom, even to the one who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Jesus put it this way, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Luke 11:27-28. So you see, once you have this plus H, once you have this happiness of God, and once you're occupied with Jesus Christ, what a tremendous problem-solving device that is, being occupied with Jesus Christ. It's when Jesus becomes your role model. It's when he becomes your best friend. When you're occupied with Christ, you're thinking the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ in your soul. And this is a phenomenal way to live. And I think you are beginning to see the picture here. Christian problem-solving devices. I've written a book about it, and it is free. If you want to have this book, you can contact me. Simply write to Big Rick at Post Office Box 100 in Cropwell, Alabama. And the zip code is 35054. Big Rick, Post Office Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. And I'll be glad to send you this book free of charge. And it outlines all 10 of these wonderful problem-solving devices. We've been many places on this radio show, and we've talked about many things, but one of the things we've been dealing with is the format of your soul. I explained to you a couple of weeks ago that every one of us have a soul, and our soul has mentality and volition, consciousness and self-consciousness. You're a living soul. And so you'll know with certainty that anybody who can at least fog up a dental mirror is still alive, right? And therefore, they have a soul. When you die, your soul leaves your body. It goes to be face-to-face with the Lord, and there you will get an interim body. I don't really know what it's going to look like, but I know you're not going to be a cloud vapor floating throughout eternity. You'll have an interim body, and you'll sustain yourself in that interim body until you get your resurrection body. That will occur at the rapture of the church, when Jesus Christ himself comes back from the third heaven, from the presence of God, to receive his church to himself. The church are the believers in the church age, right now, believers who are left alive on this planet. When Christ comes back, the rapture will take place, in the twinkling of an eye, in the moment of time, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then the Bible says, we that are alive and remain together shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we evermore be with the Lord. So understand. You understand now that all bodies are not the same, and you understand that all souls are not the same. Now, all souls have the same compartment. Yes, I mean, everybody has self-consciousness. Everybody has volition. Everybody has mentality and a conscience. But the thoughts that fill the soul make all the difference in the world. You see, the souls of unbelievers are filled only continually with thoughts of the sin nature, while the souls of the believer can be filled with either the Holy Spirit or the sin nature. This is the big battle that we have as Christians. The flesh wars against the spirit, the Bible says, and the spirit wars against the flesh. And if you're letting the Holy Spirit control your soul, then you're in fellowship with God. And if you're not letting the Holy Spirit control your soul, then you're carnal, and you're under control of your sin-infused human nature, your old sin nature. Now listen, please understand this. When you're born again spiritually, a spiritual birth demands a spiritual life. A spiritual birth demands a spiritual life. God wants you to grow up spiritually. He wants you to become a mature believer in your soul. God wants you to live your spiritual life to the point that every thought focuses on Him. He wants your volition to confidently make decisions based on what the Bible says, what's in your soul. See, if I had to reduce the Christian life to the simplest thing, I would tell you that it's this, making good decisions every day based on what the Bible says. And so that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to base all of your decisions on biblical information. And He wants your conscience, that part of your soul that is given by God to protect you, He wants your conscience to filter out bad decisions that contradict His will. That's why the conscience has a red alert system. And the conscience will sound warnings. When you begin to violate a policy or a standard in the Word of God, your conscience will scream at you. But your volition can override your conscience. And your volition can say, I don't care what my conscience says, I'm going to do it anyhow. That's why I always tell you, you are a victim of your decisions. Bad decisions limit future options. And if we make enough bad decisions, we don't have any options left. The worst decision anyone could ever make is not to believe in Jesus Christ. So God wants you to learn more and more of His Word so that all the garbage in the world, all the human viewpoint garbage will be filtered out of your soul. And that's why Philippians 2:15 says, so you can be blameless and pure and children of God, even though you live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse society, among whom you shine as a light in the world. Did you know that a clear conscience is like a light? When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God is richly indwelling your soul, and you're growing in grace, you're like a light. You're a phenomenal attractiveness to unbelievers. And even to other Christians. And it's because of your stability. It's because of your capacity to live life much more than anyone else has. You see, believers that grow in grace have tremendous capacity for happiness in their life. They're relaxed. They don't worry. They're not full of fear. They don't have guilt. They have tremendous capacity. They have tremendous empathy for other people. They're wonderful to be around. And that's what God wants you to be. God doesn't want you to be some moody, self-righteous, Bible-thumping jerk that's going to run everybody off and tell them, you're going to go to hell if you don't quit eating birdseed and quit drinking RC Colas. I mean, how many times have you seen people like that? You see them every day in this world, and I can tell you, get away from them quick. The only reason anyone goes to hell is if they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because Christ has paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future. The Bible says, He that knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And when you believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior, He acts as your defense attorney. He intercedes for you, and sure you'll sin. But you can go to the Father and confess your sin and be cleansed from your sin. And this is what living the Christian life is all about. It's not some system of human do-goodism, some system of self-denial, asceticism, and it's not a system of lasciviousness either. It's the most balanced, wonderful way that you could ever live. And that's why the Bible mandates us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, in Mark 12:30. So think of your soul kind of like a sponge, and it's soaking up everything in the environment. Every thought, every sound, every smell, every action, every word, every melody that you hear, like musical melodies, everything. It's all soaked into your soul. In this month alone, I've been to Pittsburgh, Houston, and also New York City. My soul took in a lot of sights. You see, I saw all the beautiful mountains of PA, Pittsburgh, and I went through the tunnels at Pittsburgh. I went to New York and saw all the sights and smelled all the smells all around Manhattan Island. And then I went to Texas and I got into a secluded environment on a big, beautiful ranch where there was not a soul around. I was standing in the middle of 3,000 acres and there was not another person there but me. And I thought, just a week ago, I was in New York City, and in 3,000 acres, there would be millions of people. My soul took all of that in. You see, now listen. If you choose to associate your soul with other believers, especially mature believers, and especially a pastor, someone who can teach you the Word of God, then you're going to soak up divine viewpoint. But if you associate with losers, believers that are out of fellowship, believers that are carrying bitterness or doubt or fear in their life, then you're going to soak up all of their human viewpoint. Now, if you're a new believer in Jesus Christ and you want to grow, which one do you think you ought to be hanging around? You've got to stay away from human viewpoint. You've got to learn divine viewpoint. You're going to find human viewpoint ideas, they'll be sweet on your tongue, yes, but God views them as bitter and debilitating garbage. So when you take in the Word of God, when you learn the Word of God, you put it into your soul. Listen to this. You develop a discriminating soul palate. You're able to tell the difference between human good and evil. You're able to taste what is good and what's not good, so to say, using that as an illustration. Listen to the Bible. I command you, brethren, be alert for those who cause dissensions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine you've learned, and avoid them, because these sort of believers do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They obey their own emotions, and they serve themselves by smooth talk, flattering speech, and they deceive the hearts of the naive. That's those that are ignorant of the Word of God. That's all found in Romans 16:17-18. So the inevitable adversities and pressures of life, hey, they're going to squeeze your soul, all right? And they'll squeeze out like a sponge, like a big hand squeezing a sponge. When you hit adversity, it'll squeeze you. And if all you had is human viewpoint garbage in your soul, you're in big trouble. Because garbage never triumphed over anything. Garbage just makes you an immediate loser with the tiniest chance of glorifying God in any way whatsoever. See, listen. This is Mark 8:36. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Got to understand that until your soul is at least half full of the Word of God, you're going to probably squeeze out human viewpoint every time you get into a crisis. And you're going to retreat in the face of adversity, and you're going to fail. But when you spend time thinking about God, when you spend time in His Word, you're going to find that the things of the world and the things that you know, you're going to be advancing upwards towards the goal that God has set before you. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find you're focused on Jesus Christ. So you're a living soul, and your soul has to grow like a sponge. It has to soak in the Word of God, and it's your responsibility to place the thinking of Christ in your soul. And the only way you're going to do that is either get under the authority of a pastor in a local church that teaches you accurate doctrine, or get some tapes. Get whatever you got to get, and get it home and study it if you can't find a church. You must get under the authority of a pastor, a man that's got that gift that can teach you the Word of God. And there are some great pastors around this area. You're going to have to say, God, where do I need to be in church? Where do I need to be going to church so that I can learn this sort of thing? And God will show you. I promise you. He promised that He would. So, a soul that is focused, a soul that's in tune, is surrounded in the world by human viewpoint garbage. He's bombarded by it every day, just as everybody else in the whole city is. But if it's focused, he doesn't allow human viewpoint inside. You see, the Word of God is an invisible shield, and it keeps out this human viewpoint thinking. That's something to say, because you see, Satan is known as a master deceiver, a counterfeiter, and he's able to disguise even the most repugnant worldly thoughts into bright, appealing garb. Oh, it looks wonderful. It sounds wonderful, but it's just human viewpoint garbage. So only, and I'm telling you now, only when your soul reaches its true value will filth be revealed by your conscience. Your conscience will show you what's dirty, what's filthy. Your conscience will let you know, stay away. This is bad. This will hurt you. That's why your conscience is your best friend, because it protects you from yourself. So listen to your conscience. And any wavering of your focus, when you quit focusing on the Word of God, you got to recognize it and acknowledge it to God. You see, I know many believers in Jesus Christ that started out growing in grace and started out becoming mature believers, and then they wavered. Then they got full of doubt, and then they got discouraged, and then they got disillusioned, and now they don't even go to church anymore. They don't even pay attention to their spiritual life anymore. Now, they're still alive, yes. You think they're going to heaven? Yes, they are. Yes, they believed in Jesus Christ. But they're living one miserable life here right now because they've never learned and deployed the problem-solving devices under their soul. If that's you, please listen to me. Go to God today and confess your sin to God. Tell Him, Father, I've been so far away from You. I haven't been studying. I haven't been growing. I haven't been in fellowship. I've been letting my old sin nature control my life. Go to God and tell Him. And rebound your sin. And then you can renew your spiritual life. How do you renew your spiritual life? Well, number one, you get into the Word of God. Start reading your Bible. You look for a church where there's a pastor that can teach it to you. You see, the Bible is a textbook. It's not a novel. It's a textbook. It's full of principles and protocol and provisions that God wants you to learn. And as you get a qualified pastor who teaches you this information, you deploy it into your soul, and then God puts you on the front line in the battle. You see, it's kind of like a football player. All football players get issued a uniform, but they can't all start because they didn't learn the plays. And it's a shame to be a football player and have a uniform and stand on the sideline for the whole game because you never took time to learn the plays. And you may have the best talent in the world. You may be a better quarterback than the guy that's on the field, but you don't know what to do. It's the same thing with God. How can God use you if you don't know what to do? God must use equipped people. And so when you're equipped with His Word in your soul, then God can use you. Then God can put you in the front lines, because He knows that you won't wimp out. He knows that you won't break weak. He knows that you will glorify Jesus Christ with every thought and action and decision that you do. He knows that He can count on you. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for a few good men, and that includes ladies as well. The term anthropos is generic. God's looking for a few good individuals that are willing to stand, as Joshua did, and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't know about you, and I don't know what you believe, but it is my prayer that this show will encourage you to get into the Word of God. Please contact me if I can help you. And please listen again next week when we bring you The Flatline here at WERC 960 on the AM dial. Until then, it's Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening.
You've been listening to The Flatline with host Rick Hughes. Listen every Sunday morning at 9 for The Flatline with Rick Hughes on 960 WERC.